Okay, friends, we're going to go right on. This is the beginning of program number 71, and I think it looks like we're beginning on page 317, and we're talking about the personnel, both studential and instructive, of the advanced schools. The personnel of the advanced school and the rules of admission to both preparatory and advanced. And the latter part will be largely technical. But let's just see, you know, some of these advanced schools are stirring already and were at the time of the Tibetan's writing. 100 years ago. The first point I seek to make, he says here, is that these advanced schools will be numerically small. Maybe preparatory schools will start to appear in countries other than the ones he designated after the designated places have their preparatory school. And this for a very long time to come. And the personnel will be correspondingly small. Now, you know, the ellipse there maybe tells us something about the personnel. For a long time to come. And later in the rays and the initiations, he does tell us that the kinds of schools that he had been discussing in Letters on Occult Meditation lie very far ahead. And he doesn't just say a long time to come, he says a very long time to come. So there's a lot of work to be done in educating people from the preparatory standpoint. At the head of the school will always be found an initiate of the first or second degree, the aim of the school being to prepare pupils for the first initiation. Now, this requires maybe some thought and, you know, maybe even the preparatory school itself can prepare students for the first degree. It all depends what we mean by the first degree. So here, whoopsie, that's not what I want. Here is a little bit of terminological confusion. Is it only in my mind? The first initiation, so is this the birth of the Christ in the heart or the transfiguration? Is it the first real initiation? Sometimes it seems that these advanced schools must have that, and that the initiate of the first or second degree, this can mean the third or fourth degree. I'm not quite sure, but it would make sense to me if the head of the school that is preparatory were an accepted disciple, therefore having taken the first degree, and maybe even the second, in the preliminary initiations. So that's the question. Are we dealing with real initiates here of the third or fourth degree? And when one prepares for the first initiation, is it the first great monastic initiation, the birth of the Christ in the heart, or is it the transfiguration? And we can see that if DK wanted to blind the issue, he could use terms like first or second and mean something even more elevated. So this necessarily requires an initiate head, and probably not a probationary initiate head. At least that, you know, what can I do except to offer what seems to be the case, or to point out certain contradictions, apparent contradictions, I always say, that have to be resolved. This initiate head will be definitely appointed by the master who has the school in charge, and therefore there is a question regarding whether the head of a preparatory school is appointed, or whether somehow such a head works his way up from below and assumes that responsibility. So this initiate head will definitely appointed by the master who has the school in charge, and he will be within the confines of the school. That has to be stated, lest it be taken too far. Sole judge and autocrat. So, you know, it seems to point to rather high stage of development for this initiate head. And there's a capitalization in the word initiate. And I want to just say, note the capitalization, indicating perhaps the attainment of the third degree. Well, these are far into the future, and if the relationship with the master is very close, you would need, I think, an initiative of the third degree. But I don't want to say that's gospel. I just want to say it's my best shot at it at the moment. And that's not to say that other apparently contradictory statements may not be made. The risk of occult training are too great to permit of trifling, and what the head demands must be obeyed. Notice again the capitalization here of the word head, just the way the initiate, word initiate, was capitalized. It's not always capitalized in these instructions. Note the capitalization of the word head. The risk of occult training is too great. So obviously this initiate head knows something, and is in a position to offset certain dangers into which the unwary or trifling, careless student might wander. Of course, by this time of admittance into an advanced school, you would hope, you would anticipate that occult obedience would be built in. But this obedience will not be compulsory but voluntary, for each pupil will realize the necessity and will render obedience from a spiritual recognition, which, of course, is the part of wisdom. It's one thing to be told, be obedient, and then you don't believe it, and another thing when you see the necessity of it. As aforesaid, these different schools will be practically ray schools, or will have for their personnel teachers on some one ray or on its complementary ray, with pupils on the same ray or complementary ray. A very important statement, but I'm glad that the word complementary is used, because even the schools themselves, when contrasting preparatory to advanced, may involve complementation. I want to put that in because I think it's important that even the schools themselves, when contrasting preparatory with advanced, may use complementation. For instance, as I've pointed out, maybe there'll be a southern school in southern, I mean, a school in southern France on the fifth ray, and it would be considered complementary to a school in Italy, advanced, on the third ray. And maybe there would, be a school on the sixth ray in central Midwest, United States, that would be complementary to more of a second-ray school in California. Although, as I say, it's not quite resolved whether there would be two schools in Italy because of his use of the word or when looking at France and Italy. And it's not quite decided whether and to what extent the sixth ray would be carried over into the advanced California school. Can we imagine that there could be a sixth ray advanced school when that ray is out of incarnation? Well, maybe, but everything about California seems to suggest the second ray, though. When you look at the Irish school, the second ray is also greatly emphasized. And I would say, along with the strong presence of the fourth, because of the nature of that country. But now let's see what he says now. Maybe I'll be contradicting what I just said. I don't know. For instance, if the school is a secondary school, such as the one in Ireland, is purposed to be, teachers and pupils on the second, fourth, and sixth rays will be found in it. So at least that obviates the necessity of moving around to other continents and other places. In order to attend a school, if you are in the geographical vicinity of this Irish school and you have a strong fourth ray or sixth ray, as well as the expected second ray, you can go there. Now, at least one fifth ray teacher will be found in every school of occultism, presumably. a teacher with a fifth-ray soul, but maybe not. If a first-ray school, the personnel and pupils will be first, third, and seventh rays, always with the fifth-ray teacher present, with, again, yeah, the fifth-ray teacher among the others. Oh, it's very clear, isn't it? And it helps, you know. Let's just say this, that if you graduated, let us say, from the United States middle school in the Midwest, you would not necessarily have to go to Ireland to fill that in, or you could, either way. So where you go to school does not necessarily depend upon moving to the paired advanced school, and that will help if a paired advanced school does not yet exist once you have graduated from a preparatory school that serves a certain ray line. So it does give flexibility here. It does give flexibility. And I'm going to put this into red. From what we are reading, there is flexibility concerning the school, the advanced school, to which one might attend after graduating from the preparatory school. I suppose, you know, the circumstances of the individual will have to be brought into consideration, and maybe advice will be given if they are deemed qualified to move on to an advanced school, about which advanced school it could be. If there is an immediately paired advanced school with a preparatory school, it might simply be that. But other possibilities exist because of this principle of complementarity serving either 2-4-6 or 1-3-7 with the fifth ray always present in an advanced school, and probably in a preparatory school too. Under the initiate head, and here's the word head, again capitalized, I think we can look for various places where the word, you know, forget my comments, but if I do this control find, and I put the word head in, there is, as you see, small letter for head. And let's see, anything else? Oh, gosh, there's a lot. And some of it is my own, you know. But here it is capitalized. And here capitalized. And often capitalized. looks like. But here, not. And here, not. So maybe there's no consistency here, but sometimes I do look for capitalization when I want to see how important a word is or a concept. Suffice it to say, it seems to me that the kinds of things that are investigated will require at least an initiative of the third degree to be the head of the advanced school. Under the initiate head will be two other teachers who will be accepted disciples, and every pupil under them must have passed through the preparatory school and graduated from all the lower grades. No way in general to make one's way into an advanced school, unless having passed through the preparatory grades. So that's something, you know, we have to think about. And accepted disciples, well, you know, they can be, or let's put it like this, they need not be initiates of the third degree. You can be an accepted disciple when you're a probationary initiate before the second degree or following it or before the third. You can be an accepted disciple, but the term is no longer used. Maybe accepted initiate, I think, is sometimes a term that is used. But let's just say we're talking about the true initiate here as the head of the advanced school with two others that are not necessarily initiates of the third degree yet. Probably these three will comprise, probably, the entire teaching staff, for the pupils under them will be relatively few in number, and the work of the teachers is supervisory more than didactic, for the occultist is always esoterically, that means in terms of the inner experience, self-taught. So that's something that we have to assure ourselves of, that the head of an advanced school, I have to believe, is the true third degree initiate, and then maybe can begin training the students for various degrees of initiation, including the third degree. And somewhere it says he has to be of the first or second degree, which means he could be of the fourth degree, even. Much of the work done by these three will be on the inner planes, and they will work more in the seclusion of their own rooms than in classroom with the students themselves. Okay, well, it's quite different from the more the outer type of work that is done in the preparatory school. Everything is more interior in the advanced school, and the inner development has to be prominent. The equipping of the mind, such as we saw in the preparatory school, is not the main focus. Much of that has been done. But the idea of seclusion of them within the school and of the school itself is important. So an entirely different kind of internal relationship is being worked out between the supervisory directors of an advanced school and the qualified students. The pupils are, it will be presumed, ready to work for themselves and to find the way to the portal of initiation alone. Well, by that time, they are trained students for however many years they operated within the preparatory school, whether 1 year or 7 years. There are different durations that they have to pass depending on their achievements in a preparatory school. But they're certainly self-motivated. They've proven that, or they never would have gotten into an advanced school. And when we talk about the portal of initiation, again, this seems to be the portal of the third degree. Seems to me to be. The work of the teachers will be advisory, and they will be able to answer questions and to superintend work initiated by the pupil himself and not compelled by the teacher. So a different relationship is being worked out there in these advanced schools, stimulating vibration, aligning the bodies, superintending the work on inner planes, and the pouring in of force with the shielding from danger by occult methods will be the work in part of the teachers, capital there, added to the supervision of definite and strenuous meditation. Maybe it's something that we can anticipate, but don't have to become overly concerned with. We have so much preparation still to do. And obviously, occult abilities on the inner planes are in the possession of these three supervisors. Energy work on the inside, shielding protective work, and the ability to teach an intensification of meditation. At intervals, they will conduct the pupils to the master. Again, they have to be, I would say, somehow within the master's aura to do that, not just chelas on the thread. I'm speaking of the ones who do the conducting. They will conduct the pupils to the master, advise as to their passing into the different grades of discipleship, accepted disciple, chela on the thread, chela in the aura, chela in the master's heart. You know, beyond a certain point, maybe they're not qualified to advise, and the master himself will know. They will report at intervals on the quality of their life service, that is, the students, and assist them in building their Buddhic vehicle, which usually occurs after the third degree, which has to be in embryonic condition when the first initiation is taken. Now, some of the building of the Buddhic Vehicle, from references given, seems to occur between the second and the third degree, but the real work tends to be following the third degree. But at least even if the work preceding the third degree is done, a preparation for intuitive access is being offered. So these three heads, or three supervisors, and one of them being the head, have developed strong occult psychic, higher psychic abilities, and they're able to function interiorly and be some kind of intermediary between the master and the students. And we, you know, would have to see what these intervals may be, whether the intervals would be appropriate for the particular student or whether they would be designated at certain times of the year. But this Buddhic Vehicle, it depends on what he means by embryonic, but it has to be is he meaning, you see, DK is switching back and forth between first initiation as the birth of the Christ in the heart and first initiation as the third initiation, transfiguration. And I think they're being prepared for the third initiation, many of them. But we have to contrast the idea that the two subsidiary teachers have to be accepted disciples, and the term accepted disciple is no longer used after the third initiation. So, you know, you can't lift a person to a status higher than your own. So basically, there seems to be a lot of work being done in this advanced school between the second and third degree in preparation for the third degree. And I suppose by their work, the two accepted disciples who serve the initiate head become initiates themselves. The teachers likewise superintend the working out in practice of the theories anent the other evolution, the Deva evolution laid down in the preparatory schools. So we might say from theoretical to practical. And this is the rendering of actual all of those theories. And of course, it has to be that the teachers themselves have done this. Because in a way, you can't really teach what you haven't done, or, you know, that which you do not fully understand. Like DK tells us about the cosmic astral plane a bit, but he says he hasn't been there. But then his knowledge is so coherent that he can, with justification, teach about the cosmic astral plane. Over, okay, so they superintend the working out in practice of the theories anent the day of evolution. They watch over the manipulation of matter by the pupil and his demonstration of the laws of construction, and they safeguard him, as far as may be, in his contact with subhuman and superhuman evolutions, and teach him to wield and transcend the law of karma. I mean, obviously, it's just so clear. The teachers are of high rank, obviously. And that sometimes puzzles me when I think that they are accepted disciples. It depends on what stage of accepted discipleship, and even a chela on the thread would be considered an accepted disciple. But a chela within the aura is more than that. And certainly a chela within the master's heart, it sounds more like the fourth degree, is far more. And then again, remember how fast things can occur. In the bottom of page 84 to 85 in Initiation Human and Solar, telling us that the second, third, and fourth initiations can be taken in the same life and probably will be taken in that life or in the next. They enable him through their instructions to recover the knowledge of past lives. And this was already begun in the preparatory school. And to read the Akashic records, which was not done. But as you will see, the pupil is the one in this school who initiates and does the work, superintended and guarded by the teachers, and his progress and the length of his residence within the school depend upon his own effort and initiatory powers. The initiate is of the status of initiate before he is initiated. That's the idea. So knowledge of past lives, real knowledge, is confirmed here, even though begun in the preparatory schools. And reading the Akashic records, well, certain qualifications and maybe certain diet too is needed for that. We're told that unless there is a type of purification and vegetarianism for a certain number of years, these records cannot be read. So, somehow implied in all of this, I think, is the vegetarian diet. The rules of admission. Now, here we go. We've dealt with the personnel of the schools. And with the teachers, and now, how do you get in? And what are the requirements? The rules of admission into the preparatory school will be, again, there's that word, somewhat, as follows, but I only indicate probability and not ascertained and fixed facts. So it's very important that we guard ourselves against this type of rigidity. Decay insists on a rigid following of the rules, but here, if we become rigid in terms of his prognostications, we may not be sufficiently adaptive to see the plan manifest as it should. So these are, the rules. Somewhat. He uses that word quite a bit, doesn't he? So be aware of it. Because he's giving you a little wiggle room, you might say. The pupil must be free from obligatory karma and able to take the course without neglecting his other duties and family ties. So, putting first, not running away from karma to enter a preparatory school. The idea would be, well, take care of that first, and then you can come back and see us as long as you're under the age of 42. You know how it is that even in our modern world, people are out to save the world and they neglect what's going on in Bethlehem, right in the house of bread, right in their own homes, and with the people that they are tied to. For various karmic reasons. So, free from obligatory karma. That's one rule of general rule of admittance to a preparatory school. There will be no fees, money charged, and no money transactions. You get this for that. The pupil must be somewhat self-supporting and able to earn the means of livelihood whilst in the school. And the schools in both their divisions will be supported by voluntary contributions of people. And through a knowledge of the laws of supply and demand, occultly interpreted, we have what's called need, love, and magnetism as responsible for the accessing the source of supply. Need, love, and magnetism. And whether you've saved the money to support oneself during tenure in the school, or whether you're doing that while you're in the school, all of those are individual adaptations that have to be worked out. But apparently, the student is financially responsible while not being charged transactionally for attendance in the school. And number three, the pupil must be able to measure up to the average educational standards of his day and generation, whenever that may be, because these schools will last for a long time, and must show aptitude for some line of thought. And that's so a contribution, you know, can be made. The student is not a dependent. And however that lack of dependency is worked out, well, that is the individual adaptation. And number four, he must be seen clairvoyantly to have a certain amount of coordination and alignment, and the causal body must be of a certain grade or quality before he is admitted. And so this requires a knowledgeable, I always have trouble with that word, knowledgeable clairvoyant. Teachers of occultism waste not time on those not ready. Only when the inner light shines forth, only when the causal body is of a certain capacity, can the pupil profit from the curriculum. So basically we're dealing here with law of, let's see. I don't know why that's not coming through. Law of economy. So, you know, he is examined then by those competent to do so, which is hardly yet reliably the case or widespread in any way. So they do not waste time on those who will not benefit and then who will somehow either have to quit or, you know, because of disinterest or lack of interest and or because of inability, etc. Therefore, the head of the school, and maybe in the preparatory case as advised by the master, being an accepted disciple, as the head of the school will be for the preparatory schools, therefore the head of the school will with the head of the school will the final verdict lie as to whether a pupil may enter or not. And that word will be final and will be passed after due inspection of the pupil by the head of the school through clairvoyant and causal vision and after reference to the man's own master. So here it seems, if we're talking about the preparatory school, here it seems that the head of the preparatory school is also a clairvoyant. Earlier it didn't seem to say so, but or at least in consultation with a knowledgeable clairvoyant. All of this is about the kind of entry into the school based on standards that cannot now be applied because we don't have the reliable means of application in many cases. And number five, he must have demonstrated by a previous period of service, his ability to work in group formation, and to think in terms of others. Well, pretty high requirements, I would say. Just reviewing, service, coordination with the causal body, it being of a certain quality. Excuse me. Measuring up to at least the average educational standards of his day. No fees or money charged. No money transactions. Though obviously the voluntary donations are welcomed, and the student must be somewhat self-supporting, and then the very first one, free of obligatory karma. So, freedom from obligatory karma, no money transactions, a certain standard, the achievement of a certain educational standard. I want to just get this correct. Okay, what else? Last two were clairvoyant, alignment with causal body, and service. Alignment with causal body of a certain quality, and previously demonstrated service. These are the things that will determine whether that student can be admitted. And some of these we can do today, and some we cannot reliably do. Hope there's more. Looking up the past incarnations. His past incarnations must be somewhat looked up. So what I'm going to do is copy this down a little lower again. Right here. And the indications given through their study will guide the head in his final decision. Can the student really benefit? So let's just say, looked up previous incarnations. So the requirements keep mounting, don't they? And the pupil must be over 21 and under 42 years of age for esoteric reasons having to do with the energy structure. Guiding, sorry, the head's final decision and under, to say over 21, under 42. Okay. All of this subject to adaptability. And finally, the etheric body in a good condition and be a good transmitter of prana, and there must be no physical disease or handicapping physical conformity, one or deformity. One might have some kind of deformity if it doesn't handicap the effectiveness of the student, then it's okay. So I'll put that down here, etherically, in good condition, without handicapping physical conformity. He specified. So this means eight requirements. In all, okay, these are the fundamental rules which it is at present possible to give. There will be others, and the problem of selection may pass through some vicissitude, some up and down in the solving. He doesn't want us to be too rigidly bound by what he says, as there are problems we have to work out ourselves. Now, the rules for admission into the advanced schools. In future times to come, are far more esoteric and fewer in number. It may be that not every graduate of a preparatory school will be able to attend an advanced school. There may be lack of possibility due to qualification, or there may be a delay until it becomes possible to fill in those requirements. The pupils will be chosen out of the preparatory school. You know, doesn't sound like self-choice, it sounds like opportunity, you know? Oh, that's not it. Yeah. What I'll do is get my bracket back. So, not so much self-choice. From out the preparatory school, after having passed through the graded courses. Now, again, that seems to be a rigid requirement that you must have graduated from the preparatory school to actually enter. the advanced school. It's not, the possibility is not existing to sort of cut in line and say, well, okay, I don't need this preparatory school, I'm going right in. But the stay within the preparatory school may be longer or shorter according to the student's abilities and work done hitherto and maybe in previous incarnations. But the selection, he says, will depend not on the mental development and on the assimilation of concrete knowledge, but upon the inner comprehension and the occult understanding of the student, upon the quality of the tone of his life as it sounds forth in the inner world, upon the brilliance of the indwelling light, and upon his power in service. So these are things that the choosers, whoever they are, would have to look at carefully before admitting into a school where theory becomes practice. Mentality is good, and we need that foundation, but it's not enough. A type of esoteric inner comprehension and real occult understanding is needed, and this sounding tone, is it something that attracts and unifies and assists those who come within the range of its vibration? There will be a light shining, whether it manifests as the light in the head or not. How brilliant is it? And how effective is the individual in his service? And will the service be augmented by his studies, his pursuits within the advanced school? Now, this suffices for today. Tomorrow we will deal with the final division of this third point, the buildings of the schools. And I imagine, you know, this will undergo, I think, many changes as techniques improve in the building process. We know that humanity got way ahead of itself in terms of the fifth ray ashram, and I wouldn't be surprised whether if the creative power of humanity released changes some of these anticipations of various factors associated with the occult schools. We seem to be at this point on page 321. What I've done here is to list the requirements, 8 requirements there seem to be, for the normal preparatory school. And then there are other requirements for the advanced school. And they are, would be the following. I'll correct the number. And maybe five requirements, looks like, approximately, for the advanced school. In our training, even today, we learn what we must prepare for the future. There are so many steps yet to be taken, including the ability to really meditate within the causal body and to have facility in contact with the angel. None of these things can be looked at rigidly, and they may occur in different order and in an overlapping way. So we'll deal now with the kinds of buildings. This gets very concrete, but as I said, probably it cannot be held with rigidity as long as the ideal, the basic fundamentals are there. So he gets, quite in detail to the way the school, each school, can be run. And there's a lot of seventh ray in it, with ritual and observing of times to study and times to have classes and times to sleep. And here, we're looking at all of these different esoterically related courses of study. And that seems to be pretty much it, taking us to page 332, and thus the completion of this particular book. Well, completion, I always say, how can one talk about that as real completion? But at least I've said a few things which I hope will be useful. So we'll be going on to program number 72. And will it be today yet? Let's see. I'll put an X here just in case. And we'll see if there's time to take it further today. So lots of love and many blessings to everybody. And we will use this wonderful little book, not only in the future, because obviously he's planned it for use in the future, but even now in these schools which are preparatory to the true preparatory schools, something of this can be used. So we'll see you as soon as possible. And bye for now.